WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATV disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Something and you want to get the devil back, do it like this. Bam! In your face, devil! That's right, come on now. That's how you do it. Now, if you're really excited, go bam! In your face, devil! Hey, this is your host today, Dr. June Knight. I'm so excited to be doing another Bible study with you today. Look, Bride, we have been digging in His Word from Genesis, and we're going all the way to the end. Even though we've had to take a quick break for me to finish my books, we are back on track, Bride. Is God good or what? Yeah, so listen, we asked the Lord from the beginning. We're like, Lord, will you please help us to memorize your word? Holy Spirit, teach us. Show us the truth so that we can hide it deep within our hearts. Because one day they may take our Bibles, and we want the word to be deep in our hearts. Amen. Now we are studying the book of Numbers. Numbers, you think, is so boring. You think, why would I care about Numbers? Numbers has been the most interesting book. All the books are interesting, but Numbers is so fascinating. We learn a lot about God. We learn a lot about God's character. We learn a lot about God's hierarchy, the way he sees things, the way he is about sin. And what we learned yesterday when we reviewed 12 through 16 is we learned how when the people of Israel kept murmuring and complaining, we learned how God feels about that. We learned how he is about his glory. When the people would do something that really offended God, the glory would come and it's like, oh my gosh. The glory, we would like step back because we knew God was about to say something. He's about to do something. So today, we're going to study Numbers chapter 17. All right, so if you would get your Bible out. Now remember, Bride, I use King James Version. The King James Version, because I told you I love the King James Version. I actually use, when I'm using my actual physical Bible, it's the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. But I'm going to use Bible Gateway just so you can see the words on the screen with you. And I really like their website, so I like to use them. Now, if you would please, Bride, pray for me, as right now we are finishing these books. This one is the American Exposé. Let's see if I can get that up there. There we go. The American Exposé. That's the one. See the coexisting. That's the key. Coexist. And see the Catholic monstrance on the top. Everything leads back to Rome. Then we have the American Idols. This is the idolatry in the church. We prayed in January to cast them all down. This is the American Judgment. This talks about the judgment that's coming. See the bride that's sad and repenting? And then we have the last American Bride. Now this one talks about, where do we go from here? We know that we have the apostasy out here. We know that they are partnering and forming this one world religion. Now, while the world is getting ready, setting the stage for the Antichrist, for this false Jesus movement, this false love, this Christ consciousness, this worldly universal Christ that's coming, okay? While they are setting the stage for this, we need to know and be able to stand in those days. That's what my job is to help you to be able to go to the other side, to step up and not partner with this movement, but to be what God has called you to be, walking in obedience through the judgment that's coming, through our testing and trying days ahead. Now remember, Bride, through Christ, we can do all things. We do not have to fear. And as we learned yesterday in this book of Numbers, we learned that God walked Moses through everything. And those that talked against him, God took them out. And yesterday, Bride, we learned the saddest, we heard the saddest story. It's not that we feel sorry for the people. It's that you do feel sorry for the people, but it's just such a shock to how it is to come against God's anointed, to come against the ones who are true. And that is what happened yesterday in the Bible study. Remember Korah? Korah brought a bunch of people and they complained against Moses. Who are you? Who are you to be teaching us? Why do you think you're so special to God? You call yourself a prophet? That is what they said. And you know what Moses told him? If God does not defend me, then who am I? If he does not do something new to punish you for saying that, I don't know what to say. And you know what God did? This is so sad. The earth itself opened up. And all of Korah and his followers, alive, were swallowed up and went down into hell. Alive. Can you imagine? And what is so amazing, it wasn't just them standing in front of the temple when the glory of the Lord went to the front door, remember? When the glory went, that's when judgment's coming. It's like, oh! Not only did he get Korah, but everyone that partnered with Korah in all their tents, wherever they was at, the earth found them, opened up, and took them too. When you partner with the apostasy, when you partner with the false, you will receive the same when it comes down. That's what we learned yesterday. Now we're on 17. So let's go in the Bible to Numbers. Let me get my little mouse over here. All right, Numbers 17. Y'all forgive me with this new software. I'm still learning how to use. Okay, yes, I use King James only Photoshop. All right, so here we are, number 17. And then we're going to pray before we get started. But let me get this scrolled down here. All right, let's go ahead and pray and get this started. Lord, we just thank you so much for your rain today, Lord. Oh, I know that your grass and your trees just love this being refreshed, Lord. We pray that today, Holy Spirit, that you teach us, lead us, and guide us into all the truth. Bring the word to life, Holy Spirit. Show us your heart. Show us God's heart. And be with us, lead us, and guide us today in all the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's start off with number 17. My eyes have been watering. So yes, Bride, if you hear a little bit of rain, we have rain here in Tennessee today. I'm right outside of Nashville. All right, so let's see here. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod, according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. Oh, wow. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. All remember, because Levi, the children of Israel, you know, there's 12 tribes. Levi was one of the tribes, but Levi was put in charge of the temple. They're basically, that whole house of Levi does nothing but serve Aaron, serves the priest, serves the house, okay? All the other 11 tribes were outside of the temple. They all had their own tents and their own sections, but Levi was in charge of the temple. So it says, and thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them upon the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you all. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. Oh, wow! All right, let's see what God does here. All right, so the rod is going to blossom, huh? And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. Oh, we're still in the punishment. Okay. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece. For each prince won, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. Okay, all right. I just want to make sure everybody can hear me good. Let me look over here on Facebook. Let me make sure my sound is good before I get in this real deep. All right, let's see. Testing, testing. Let me make sure my sound. It is, all right. Okay, so, and the rod of Aaron was among the rods, and Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded. Oh, okay. And brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded all the almonds. Wow. Wow, that's amazing. Brad, let me ask you, have you caught on to this? Have you caught on to this? God loves being unique. He likes all his miracles being unique. Have you noticed that and caught on to it? He likes being unique. He likes showing out in different ways. That's why this revival coming, this move of God that's coming, we have to step out of the way and let God be God. We got to trust that he wants to do something new and exciting, something different. He is such a unique God. So him blooming the rod, that is so unique. That's a miracle. Now, if y'all can hear me good on Facebook, if you can write it on there and let me know, I'd appreciate it. All right, so let's roll on down here. We are on verse 9. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel. And they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quite... Let me see. It's something. Hold on, Brian. Okay, we was on that. Token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. And Moses did so. As the Lord commanded him, so did he. And the children of Israel spoke unto Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying? All right, let's go to the next one, which is Numbers 18. And the Lord said unto Aaron, now isn't it awesome how God spoke through Moses and Aaron, and he kind of led them through this whole thing? And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. In other words, there's an order going down. And thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee, and minister unto thee But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness, all. And they shall keep thy charge, and the charge of all the tabernacle. Only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, that neither they nor you also shall die. Wow, God is putting his foot down. And they shall be joined unto thee, and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation, for all the service of the tabernacle, and a stranger shall not come nigh unto you. In other words, God is going to protect them, huh? And you shall keep, let me move this down. And you shall keep the charge of the sanctuary, and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel. And I, behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel to you. They are given as a gift for the Lord, to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now remember, Bride, we have 12 tribes of Israel, and God chose one to be separate than the other brethren, and this one took care of the sanctuary. That's what the children of Levi did. Okay, so, therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and you shall serve. I have given your priest office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And the Lord spoke unto Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of my heave offerings, of all the hollow things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for your sons. In the most holy place shall thou eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto thee. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee, and to thy sons, and to thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. Every one that is clean in the house shall eat of it. All the best of the oil, and all the best of the wine, and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. What? Wait a minute! You mean you want your people to have the best, Lord? Is that what I hear him saying in the Old Testament? I think so, Bride, huh? God is wanting them to have the best. Look what he says. Okay. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be thine. Everyone that is clean in your house shall eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. Wow, isn't that amazing? Everything that openeth the matrix of all flesh, you know, that's birth, which they bring into the Lord, whether it be of men or beast, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shall thou surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beast, shall thou redeem. And those that are to be redeemed from a month old shalt thou redeem, according to thine estimation, for the money of 5 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstling of a cow, or the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, thou shalt not redeem. They are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar, and shall burn their fat for an offering made by fire, for a sweet savor unto the Lord. Remember, Bride, we talked about how God smells. The sweet savor. Remember I taught you about when we pray, God gathers them in bowls, and the bowls are before the altar, and the smell of the prayers of the saints go through God's nostrils. He measures that. But see, God, I did one time, just one time. Oh, man, it was the most beautiful smell I have ever smelled with my nose. I mean, I just can't imagine how beautiful the prayers of the saints are to his nostrils, much less the stink and the foulness of it. All right, well, let's continue. Let's see here. Okay, I did the cow, sweet savor. And we're in verse 18. We're in chapter 18, verse 18. And the flesh of them shall be thine, as the wave breast, and as the right shoulder are thine. All the heave offerings of the holy things, which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord, have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee, and to thy seed with thee. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am your part and your inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given thee the children of Levi, all the tenth in Israel, for an inheritance, for their service, which they shall serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. Isn't that something? But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. And Bride, I can just hear some of you asking, why should we even read this? Why should we care about God's rules and sin and all that? We need to care, because God is showing us how, from the very beginning of time, when he wanted a relationship with humans, he laid out all these laws, because this shows you the seriousness of sin, the price of sin, the consequences of sin, which in today's times, they're not even talking about it. And it's the very thing that keeps them away from God. Isn't that sad, Brian? Okay, so let's continue. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when you take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them from your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. Bride, it is a no-brainer that we give God a tenth. It's so sad when people argue just about even giving him a tenth of their money. Don't they understand the money is not theirs to begin with? Everything we have is God. What if he asks you for your house? What if he asks you for your car? All your furniture? I mean, nothing that we have is ours. It's all God's. So what's wrong with giving him just a tenth? There's a lot of people that have a problem just giving a tenth. But God is saying it here to them. Now verse 27, and this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you, as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress, Thus you also shall offer a heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which you receive of the children of Israel, and you shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. All right, now, let's picture what's happening. Okay, you have the children of Israel out here, and let's say there's a million of them, okay? There's a million people in the children of Israel. They are to give the temple a tenth of what they have, the best of what they have, the first fruits. They take it to the temple. Then it goes to the Levites, which is a children of Israel, one of the tribes. And then they are to take a tenth of that tenth. Do you get it? They take a tenth and then they give the rest to Aaron. See, it's like step, step, step. That's what it's saying. Okay, let's see. Okay, verse 29. Out of all your gifts, you shall offer every heave offering of the Lord, of all the best thereof, even the hollow part thereof, out of it. Therefore, thou shalt say unto them, when you have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor, and as the increase of the winepress. And you shall eat it in every place, you and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. Now that times a million, that's a lot for your service. And you shall bear no sin by reason of it. When you have heaved from it the best of it, neither shall you pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest you die. Whoa! Whoa! Pollution. I just want to talk about that a minute. Polluting. What do you do to pollute? Let's take this, bride. All right, this is my water bottle. Okay? I have fresh water in here. Nothing in it but water. Okay? What do I do to pollute it? I'm receiving a fresh stream from heaven, right? It's crystal clear waters from the throne. How do I pollute this water? It's called mixing. You mix false in with it. You mix other things in it that should not be in there. Things that are unholy, impure. And you mix it and see what people don't get. When you throw Egypt in there and you throw the world in there, you're mixing those waters. And that is what he's saying. Do not pollute my people. What do you mean? Keep my commandments. Don't mix with Egypt. Don't partner with the devil. That's what this is. All right, bride. Now look, let's move on to chapter 19. All right. And see, that's what we're headed into. The judgment is because we have mixed. Okay, here we go. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. In other words, a pure, spotless one. Okay? And you shall give her unto Eleazar, the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. Aw. And Eleazar, everybody say, the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation seven times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin, and her flesh, and her blood, with her dung shall he burn. Wow! Wow! Well, guess what that tells me, Bride, about the dung. Now, this is a heifer. Remember, we've been studying Ezekiel at the same time. Remember, God made Ezekiel eat dung. Ezekiel was a prophet of the Lord. Children of Israel were backslidden. They were hard-hearted, stiff-necked people. And God made him do a visual to what they was doing spiritually. So he told them to eat dung. He wanted him to eat human dung first. And he's like, I've never put polluted things in my mouth. And God said, okay, then, I'm going to let you do animal dung. I mean, can you imagine? He had to mix it in with his bread. And he had to eat it before the people as a sign. So he's saying here he wanted him to burn the dung, which meant it was defiled, right? Okay. And verse 6, and the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water. Because apparently everything was unclean. The sin was unclean. He touched the unclean thing, right? And so now he's having to take a bath. And let's see here. Okay. And afterward he shall come into the camp. Remember, he had to go out of the camp to do this. So now he's coming back in the camp. And the priest shall be unclean until the evening. Wow, that gives a whole new meaning to touching the unclean thing. Does it not, Bride? Wow. So he had to go the whole afternoon like that. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water and bathe his flesh in water and shall be unclean until the evening, even the one that was a part of it with him. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place. And it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. Wow, I never knew this, did you, Brian? Wow, they kept the ashes of the dead heifer. Isn't that something? He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. Wow. He shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead and purifies not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him, and he shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. This is the law. When a man dies in a tent, all that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. Wow, isn't this something, Bride? And every open vessel which has no covering bound upon it is unclean. What? Wow, everything in its zone is unclean. Wow. And whosoever toucheth one that is slain with a sword in the open fields, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. Wow. And for an unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereof in a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon all the vessels and upon the persons that were there and upon him that touched a bone or one slain or one dead or a grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself, and wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and shall be clean at even. But the man that shall be unclean, and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. Wow, Brian. I see so much of that today, defiling the sanctuary. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. And it shall be a perpetual statute unto them, that he that sprinkleth the water of separation shall wash his clothes, and he that toucheth the water of separation shall be unclean until the evening. And whatsoever the unclean person touches shall be unclean. There we go. And the soul that touches it shall be unclean until the evening. Boy, I have learned so much, Bride, about touching the unclean thing. You know, until I started digging in the Word this year, do you know I would let people pray for me anywhere? I never thought a thing about it. I have had people pray for me all over this country. Now, some of them I would feel weird about it when they was praying for me, but I didn't understand the price of it. Now, I'll be like, I don't want nobody praying for me. Because now I understand touching the unclean thing, touching and imparting, passing the Kundalini spirit, passing the false, passing demons, touching the unclean thing, you know, type of deal. All right, let's move on to chapter 20. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there. Oh, Miriam died. Oh, man. She didn't get to see it. Oh, that is so sad. She was not able to see the promised land. That was Moses' sister. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. No, they do not again. I cannot believe it. Almost every chapter they come against them, people. Oh my gosh, I hate to see what God's going to do here. Oh Lord. And the people chode with Moses, which means murmured, and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord? And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die here? And wherefore have you made us to come out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. Oh my goodness. It's the same complaint they've had almost every time. Do you see that, Bride? Almost every time. They're complaining about what they don't have. Woo! Okay, so here we go. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces. Now, Bride, before I read any further, I'm going to tell you something I've learned reading the Bible. Ezekiel, John, Acts, Revelation, and Genesis through Numbers. Guess what I've discovered? Every person that has an encounter with God falls forward. But the ones that are being punished fall backwards. So I thought that was interesting. So they go in the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fall upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Here we go, Bride. Oh my
rebellion. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. I think there's a little bit there we need to discuss. First of all, it's saying that he was impatient, but what I see is that Moses was kind of mocking God there. Unless I'm misunderstanding it, but I'm thinking that Moses is like, I'm having to come here and serve you. Because what did God, let's go back here and see the commandment that God gave Moses. I think this is going to teach us something, Brad. God said, take the rod, gather the assembly together, you and Aaron your brother, and speak ye under the rock before their eyes, and it shall give you water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. So yes, he was making Moses serve them. Moses and Aaron. So now Moses is standing before them. You know, first of all, I've got to say on behalf of Moses, who would have had the patience this long with the children of Israel? They're complaining every time you turn around. So you got to give it to Moses on that he's probably at his wit's end right here. But what he did is he disobeyed God right here, because he says, hear now, ye rebels. So now he's calling them names. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Like, now I'm having to serve you? You pitiful rebels. You know? And so it says Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote it twice. You know, like rebellious, like, I want to get it twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. In other words, he didn't have to serve. Whew. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Aw. Moses just lost his inheritance. He couldn't go in the promised land. That is sad. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that has befallen us, how our fathers went down to Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice, and brought us forth out of Egypt, and behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of the border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right nor to the left until we have passed your borders. So what he's done is he's written this king, and he's like, please, let us just pass through. We won't bother you or anything. Then Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come against you with the sword. Oh, man. And the children of Israel said unto him, We will go by the highway. And if I and my cattle drink of your water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, Thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage. Isn't this interesting, Bride? I'm on the edge of my seat over here. His border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh, and he came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor, all, and strip Aaron of his garments. Oh my gosh, all this is terrible. After all the work that Aaron has done in his loyalty, all. And strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. Oh, I'm going to try not to cry. That's so sad. Oh. But, Bride, I want to say for today's time, that is about what's to happen. The ones that are the false and that have been disobedient and everything, God's about to strip them. And then he's going to place in there the people that he can trust. Oh, that is... All right, verse 27. And Moses did... Oh, man, God made Moses do it. Oh, how sad. Because they were like best friends. I know y'all are like, why is this woman acting like this? Well, I've been doing this from the beginning of Genesis, and I've kind of built a relationship with these characters. You know, that's how it is when the Holy Spirit brings it to life to you. You start feeling what they're thinking. Oh, it's so sad. Whew. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel, all. And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Oh my goodness, now they're speaking against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Well, I'm just going to pause here and preach a minute. I'm telling you, Brad, and let me tell you why, because I'm preaching to myself. Man, when God is taking you through the wilderness, when he is preparing you for your promised land, and you're suffering, and when you're waiting on God, And it seems like everything's falling apart, and you don't see the answer coming. You don't see from the right or the left. And you feel all this pressure to do something. That's where they're at when they're murmuring, complaining, they're doing something. How many of us get to that point? And we murmur and complain about the place that we're in. We're murmuring and complaining about the suffering. Sometimes, and for myself, I have felt this way. I've been in there for 5 years now. I've been in my wilderness, training and whatnot for 5 years. And I have felt that, Brian, time and time again, that the Lord has taken too long. Like, I'll have, bills that are due, that he will wait until the last minute. Well, I mean, a lot of things. Wait till the last minute to do something. And to our natural self, that really can rub us raw because we feel like he should do everything in our timeline, in our expectations. That's exactly where the children of Israel were at. Amen. So, I mean, I can understand why they were murmuring and complaining, although I know it wasn't right and I know that God was not happy about it. But it sure convicts me. This convicts me for sure. Okay, so. And the people spoke it, we're in verse 5 of chapter 21, this is our last chapter. And the people spoke against God and Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, there is no water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. In other words, we're tired of the bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Oh my goodness. And they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Wow. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray unto the Lord that he takes away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. He interceded. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live." Wow. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. Now, Brad, when you think about that serpent on a pole, just like I said earlier, was that not unique in that it was another way that God did something? See, it's another way he brought healing to the people. He doesn't want to use the same old thing. He wants to be unique. All right, so here we go. And they journeyed from Oboth and pitched at Egeberim in the wilderness, which is before Moab, toward the sun rising. From thence they removed and pitched in the valley of Zered. From thence they removed and pitched on another side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness that cometh out of the coast of the Amorites. For Arnon is the border of Moab between Moab and the Amorites. Wherefore it is said in the book of the Wars of the Lord. Oh, that would be good to read, wouldn't it? Wars of the Lord. What he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon. Bride, listen. You know that this is not all the books that are written. There's so many miracles and things that God did, there could be books forever and a day. And at the stream of the brooks that goeth down to the dwelling of Ar and lieth upon the border of Moab, and from thence they went to Beer. And this is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, "Gather the people together, and I will give them water." Then Israel sang this song. Aw. Spring up, O well. Sing unto it. We used to sing that song in church. The princes dig the well. The nobles of the people digged it. By the direction of the lawgiver, with their staves, and from the wilderness they went to Mattanah, and from Mattanah to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel to Bamoth, and from Bamoth in the valley that is in the country of Moab, to the top of Pisgah, which looketh toward Jeshimon. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, Let me pass through thy land. We will not turn unto the fields or into the vineyards. We will not drink of the waters of the well, but we will go along by the king's highway until we be past your borders. And Sihon, now look, Bride, if y'all notice here in this scripture, this is another way of showing how God respects borders. And Sihon would not suffer Israel to pass through his border, but Sihon gathered all his people together and went out against Israel into the wilderness, and he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. And Israel smote him with the edge of the sword and possessed his land from Arnon unto Jabbok, even unto the children of Ammon, for the border of the children of Ammon was strong. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon and in all the villages thereof. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab, and taken all his land out of his hand, even unto Arnon. Wherefore, they that speak in Proverbs say, Come into Heshbon, let the city of Sihon be built and prepared. For there is a fire gone out of Heshbon, a flame from on the city of Sihon. It has consumed Ar of Moab and the lords of the high priest of Arnon. Woe to thee, Moab! Thou art undone, O people of Chemosh! He hath given his sons that escaped and his daughters into captivity unto Sihon, king of the Amorites. We have shot at them. Heshbon is perished, even unto Dibon. And we have laid them waste, even unto Nophah, which reacheth unto Medeba. Thus Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites, and Moses sent to spy out Jazer, and they took the villages thereof, and drove out the Amorites that were there. And they turned and went up by the way of Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, went out against them, he and all his people, to the battle of Edrei. When are they going to learn they cannot take out Israel? I mean, that's the same for today. All right, let's continue here. We're in verse 34, just two verses left. And the Lord said unto Moses, Fear him not, for I have delivered him unto your hand, and all his people, and his land. And thou shalt do to him as thou did in Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So they smote him and his sons and all his people until there was none left him alive, and they possessed the land. Wow, so basically, Bride, we learned today, boy, did they have a fight on their hands trying to get to the promised land. Yes, they did. They fought all the way, but God let them know that he was with them through their fiery trials. And he let them know, don't complain. I'm going to take care of you. Be patient and wait. And that's what he is speaking to us. And in the meantime, he also says, do not pollute my congregation. That's still what he is saying today. Do not pollute my congregation. All right, Bride. Well, we made it through part number two today, and tomorrow we will move on. Well, actually, I think I'm going to have to wait till next week to do the next few, because I have someone coming from out of town to visit a couple of days. I have a lot of things going on. All right, Bride. Well, I will see you soon with the next part of Numbers. God bless you.